Glenn Gullitson joins us. Morning, Glenn. How are you?
I'm not doing too bad. How are you guys?
We're good. Where are you?
Geez, I just drove last night after we acquired Eddie Lack. I drove to Saskatchewan here.
I was going to say, now summer can begin. You got goalies and defense, and you got another forward back. Your job's done.
Yeah, yeah. Tree's done a heck of a job. I think he's might be the busiest GM right now this time of year.
You would know firsthand, having been alongside him and knowing what's going on. I get a little bit of the behind-the-scenes stuff, but it's comical to see how much work and negotiating and maneuvering that he has to do. He never rests. Like, because you look at the Hamonic deal. I mean, that just doesn't fall in your lap. And even this one yesterday for the goalie, I mean, that's days and days of negotiation. I don't know when he puts the phone away.
You know what? He never does. He literally never does. He wears our scouts there. They just grind and grind, and they do a hell of a job. But you've been around him, and you know he to make a deal. People think God's just going to reach out and make a deal. This Eddie Lack deal. There's been a month of talk, and the Hamonic deal has been, you know, banter back and forth for a long time. So it takes a lot of energy to make a deal.
Well, let's start with Lack, obviously a guy that you are familiar with from your days in Vancouver. It did not work for him with the Carolina Hurricanes. That much is clear. What do you have in Eddie Lack?
Well, we have a guy that certainly that I'm familiar with and who has played behind two very good goalies in Roberto Luongo and Ryan Miller. And in both those cases, he took a heavy workload. I think it was 41 and 48 games in his second season in Vancouver. You know, obviously we played in the playoffs at Calgary and Vancouver, but he played 48 games and started four in the playoffs. He was the guy that basically, with Miller's injury, played the last part of the season and helped us secure a playoff spot in Vancouver. So I'm quite familiar with him. Huge work ethic, probably one of the hardest working goalies that I've been around. Big guy, likes to play on his goal line, likes to play in the blue paint. Is a fantastic guy, fantastic person in the community, his charitable efforts. So we very familiar with the work ethic, the character of the player, and provided in Vancouver for us some really good goaltending.
Seems like a guy that keeps everyone in light spirits. At least that's the sense I get on Twitter, whatever that may be. But a guy that doesn't mind having some fun.
Yeah, no, he's a really fun-loving guy. You know, he's a really good Swede. You know, Swedes are great people, and he's a fun-loving guy. And like I said, I know his work ethic and, you know, what he does outside the rink in the community and getting involved. And, yeah, just the person you want to add to your group. I think it's going to be a great fit with Smitty. I think it's a great fit for our locker room, and I know that, you know, things didn't go the way it wanted to in Carolina, but Eddie Lack is a good goaltender.
Given a perfect world, health and everything considered, what's the game breakdown? How many starts for Eddie Lack?
Oh, you know, I haven't even looked at that. You know, I think a lot will depend on, you know, both guys and their play and then Smitty's workload. So, you know, we'll take a look at that, and I'll sit down with Jordan here. We had our chat a little yesterday, but we'll sit down before the season starts, look at the schedule, and then kind of map out what we think will just kind of a blueprint. But obviously those things can change. But, you know, Eddie has played, I think last year he only played maybe it's 18 games. I expect that, you know, he'll be around the 20-game mark and somewhere in there, whether it's high or low. We'll see how the schedule pans out and you know, see how both guys go.
Glenn Gullitson, our guest here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. I think fans love it when there's a player that comes in and truly wants to be there. You have that in Chris Versteeg. I thought it was interesting at the end of the year how he talked about his stay in Calgary kind of rejuvenated his love of the game. You think moving around and being a free agent that there's some sexiness to it. I think he was just happy to come home and find a home. And clearly, as a coach, I'm guessing you love having guys that want to be there too.
Yeah, no question. I've talked to Steger last, Brad and I have talked to him quite a bit over the last few days. And, you know, it's nice. You've got an Alberta guy who wants to be here. He had a few other options on longer term deals, and I'm not afraid to say on more money. But he wanted to be in Calgary, and we wanted him here. So he wants to win here. Is exactly what he said. And you know, guy, you can say anything you want. You know that, but you know. He put it out there. He could have went a couple other places for more money and longer term, but he wants to be in Calgary, wants to win here, and we're happy to have him.
You don't see that a ton these days, and I don't think that's a knock on guys, because absolutely you got a short window to make your money as a professional athlete, but that is refreshing, and this truly does feel like a hometown discount. Does that not speak to the character of the guy?
Yeah, no question. He was great in our locker room last year. You know, he's a guy that gives our locker room some pizzazz. You know, we all watched him in the playoffs. He had a great playoff, big part of our power play. You know, I think it's a point in his career with his family. He's got two wonderful kids, and he's just at a point where he enjoyed the game last year, but he enjoys the city. He wants to win in Calgary. He chose Calgary over Edmonton, and now he's chosen Calgary over more money in terms. So we're just excited to have him.
Travis Hamonic comes in, and usually when general managers make trades or they make signings, and then the media say, well, who's he going to play with? And then the GM says, well, I mean, that's the coaches. You need to ask the coach. So I'll ask you, is it fair to say that Travis Hamonic looks a pretty solid fit on the right side with TJ Brody?
Yeah, that's where we're going to start him off. And, you know, I could try to bluff my way through it and make it suspenseful, but I don't think I'm smart enough, and it's pretty easy for everybody to see. So, yeah, that's where he'll certainly go. And boy, we were watching video yesterday as we were as Tree was banging out the phone lines, and we're watching Travis. And boy, did we got ourselves a great player and a great person. Oh, we all know that. So I think you can see a trend here. You know, with Eddie and Steger and what we've talked about, and then Travis and the awards that he's won with his charitable work. We're not only going after good players, we're going after good people, and we're just excited to have them. I can't tell you how excited we are to have all three guys, but it's funny with Travis to see his excitement to be here. When he first came to Calgary, himself and his wife, it's a pretty special thing. He was so tickled to be here, and he's a farm kid from Winnipeg. The question he said was, I can't believe all the land out here. So that's coming from New York.
yeah, no kidding. What is, from an X's and O's standpoint, enlighten us. What is two pairing where a top four like you're going to have to start the year? What does that do for you? How much easier is your job, or maybe one of your assistant jobs of running the D pairs?
Yeah, just matchups way easier. Travis has played against the top guys in the National Hockey League for the last 3 years. His quality of competition is at the highest level. So out east, you know, he's seeing Sid and all the big boys out there. So now to have him and TJ together with Gio and Dougie, and you know, Gio and Dougie, we played a heavy workload against the top guys. They'll still see that. But now it gives you some flexibility with matchups, and it allows you to play, you know, a solid four, but we're still looking for our number five. Because we think that just what we've talked about all summer and our game plan is that, you know, D love playing five guys. They love it. We're obviously going to play six, but we're still looking for another guy to round us out. And then we feel that'll give us the best advantage when it comes to matchups and how we can roll our defensive pairings. But four just gives you a solid base.
Have you ever coached with a group that's obviously doesn't have to be the NHL level, but at a spot where you really had two pairs that you could call elite, whatever level it may be? I mean, this does look unique. I mean, I see the Nashville team that went to the final. They're not totally dissimilar from this group.
You know what? I did. And I was very fortunate in Las Vegas way back when I started. I had four of the best defensemen in that league when I first started. And I know that through those 3 years, we played, over 210 games, and we had under 40 losses with a four defense like that. Wow. So that's an important thing, and you saw it in Nashville. But it's important at any level, and to get four solid guys like that, it boosts everybody else on your team. Those guys are multipliers. When you have a four solid like that, they multiply everything else throughout your group, your goaltender and your forwards.
So, question now, because we sit here and we have hours and hours to fill with talk, and some of it we've filled with, if you are going to go to July 1 and you have X amount of dollars, how much are you going to allocate for a winger and how much are you going to allocate on a number 5? Again, kind of a tough question to answer maybe, but perfect world, what are the nightly minutes going to be for a 5 and 6 when you have the top heavy 1, 2, 3, and 4?
Yeah, we did that exercise, and guys, I'm honestly not even sure how much money we have left. I'd probably overspend if it was just me, so I know that Tree and those guys are keeping it tight because they know where we need to be. But allocating minutes, you're looking at your number 5 in the way I see things, still playing 18 minutes a night. So there's... You know, your sixth guy is probably looking at 12 and 13, and your top four all looks probably staring at 23 minutes a night.
How comfy are you with the cupboard at defense? I know there's a lot of excitement around a lot of those names, but do you expect any of them could come and be a 6 or a 5 for you this year, or is that asking a bit much at this point?
For our young guys? Sorry, I just missed you.
I think Kulak and Anderson, there are some guys that appear to be knocking on the door. Is it this year or is it further down the road?
Oh, I think they're knocking on the door. So we'll see how they come into camp. You know, Brett Kulak came in last year and he did a great job. I think that overall with Brett and his long-term development, and we told him this, to get the games he got in here, I think it was, 20-some games here, and then going and playing half that year, that's a good step for a guy who's trying to break into the league is kind of going on that, whatever you want to call it, 60-40 or 70-30 program, right? He's getting games in the NHL, but he's getting heavy minutes in the American League. So we expect one of those guys to make a step here, and who it may be is going to be up to them because things will be pretty wide open. But we're hoping one of them makes a step.
Glenn Gallatin, our guest here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Again, a question you may not be able to answer, but that's how news is coming, how fast and furious it's coming. I needed to be reminded about Spencer Fu, a guy. It was this week, as I recall. Again, a guy coming from the NCAA. I'm not sure what you know. You'll know more in a week when he comes into town for camp. But with that said, what do you know about this kid? What are your realistic expectations? Because It to go to the American Hockey League would not be a crazy thought, would it?
No. Playing in the NHL wouldn't be a crazy thought either. So he, with these talented players coming out of college, you just have to see how they fit into the pro game. But every indication that we have with Spencer, I think it's a 66, 69 points. We watched him play. We watched him extensively. Even I was involved in the process here of watching him play games. And he's got high speed. He's got high compete. He's got hockey sense. He's hard on the puck. And when I met him and we talked to him here before he was making his decision, he's not a small guy either. He's got a good frame on him. He's got a good NHL frame. So you just have to see how they come in and fit. You know, obviously he's a talented player. You got to put him with the right players, but there's going to be an opportunity there for him. And I think it's really up to him where he plays. And maybe is there an adjustment period? Maybe there isn't, but we'll see at camp.
Beyond that, tomorrow you're in Saskatchewan, so you're out of the war room. Treliving will be doing what he does. If there's a forward to be had, What does the perfect fit look like for you? What hole is there to be filled? What guy, I know you won't give a name, but what style or type of player would be the right fit for a July 1 ad?
There's really two things that we're kind of patrolling a little bit with our forward, and I would say one is a player of right shot who can play center or can take faceoffs. We're looking at that, and the other thing is a winger. And if we're looking for a winger, we would take someone who can play in your bottom six pairing. So we would probably look at either of those things. But a right shot guy that can take some draws, we've got Freddie Hamilton that we feel can make that step. But those are kind of things that we're looking at. But right now there's a lot dwindling in the free agent market.
Sam Bennett, winger center, is that a debate that's going on internally? Because we've been having it on air a ton, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. No, it's not really going on internally a ton. We have Sam put in as a center, but the one thing that we've tried to construct in our lineup, and if you look at it, you look down the middle, and if we call it Monty, Bax, Benny, and Stage, right? So let's just call it those are four centers. And then you've got Curtis Lazar. He can play center. And you have Freddie Hamilton. He can play center. So really we feel, and we have young Mark Jankowski who's really made huge strides in the American Hockey League and is going to be knocking at the door as well. And we just feel with the construction of our lineup, we like the fact that we've got six centers basically playing and a young center that's coming and could be right there. So we feel that that's an important part of it is the, you know, it's easier to take a centerman and slide him over to the wing than it is to grab a winger at some point and try to ask him to play center.
Boy, it's been a year and 2 months since the day you were announced as the new head coach of the Calgary Flames. I imagine there were some tougher, more stressful times in there. I think of the slow start the club got off to, the new system that had to be learned. Where are you at now? I know you try to block out a lot of the outside sources and you're a positive guy, but how's life being Glenn Gullitson right now a year in?
Well, it didn't start easy, boys. I'll tell you that for sure. It wasn't easy, but it was, you know, now just with the way it's full of excitement now. I've got to kind of immerse myself in Calgary and actually become a Calgarian a little bit because I just knew the route from the Saddle Dome back to my house for about 8 months, but now I've got to get out and see some parks and actually go to a grocery store and all that kind of stuff. So that part of it's been really good. But just the excitement with what Tree is building here and what we've tried to do with our young players, our youth, our veteran guys that we've sprinkled in. I'm just excited. I'm completely, 1 year ago standing here taking the job, I didn't know what was actually ahead of me with the players and personnel. I just love the way it's going right now.
So back in Saskatchewan, what does summer look like? Are you fishing? Are you farming? Are you like
what hockey camps going on?
Are you just drinking every day?
No. I just got here last night. I took a little longer to get here, but I'm standing right now. I'm standing outside. It's sunny. I'm on a gravel road. I'm outside our cabin here at the lake. And my son is begging me here to get onto the lake to go fishing. That's really what it's going to be. I'm going to relax and see my mom and dad in Hudson Bay, Saskatchewan, do some fishing and then take it easy. I'll be working the next couple days, but other than that, I'll be pretty relaxed here.
There you go. So what are you fishing? What do you got? Some pickerel out there? Some jacks?
We got pickerel and jack. That's what's at the lake here. And my son hauled in a big 18-pounder last year, so he can't wait to get back.
Nice. Well, we'll let you get to that. Hopefully they're biting. Enjoy. Hopefully things go well for you on Saturday, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for doing this, Glenn.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
Take care. Glenn Gullitson, coach of the Flames.